said, don't keep trying. No, I said, I'm doing one. I'm going to do one. And it hurt way down in here. And
Amen.
Is it ready? Okay. It's over ready? Yeah. Is it ready? Okay, thank you. That's just it. Brother David's trying to tell me I'm on. See, he'll tell me I'm on, and then I lose focus and turn it off and stuff, but I'm glad he's got it. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of John, John chapter 4, John chapter number 4. And all that been is there. John chapter number 4. I was trying to get in good shape before bow season. I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm going to have to lug this gut up and down on a Ranger. Oh, Lord, what a deal. Take your Bible to John, St. John chapter 4. If you're able to stand, look in verse number 24. St. John chapter number 4, verse number 24. Now, here's a new sermon. Here's a new message that we want to look at. And so it's not very complicated. You don't have to be very intelligent, but you probably need to pay attention a little bit.
Amen.
So you can get a hold of what's about to transpire here tonight. Verse 24. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, Father, bless your word in every heart. We do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted. Set the captives free, we pray thee. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you and be seated. In the lesson that we're looking at here, I want to preach a little while on God is a spirit. You see that? And it's important that you do see that. God is a spirit. If you were using a modern perversion of the Bible, the indefinite article A has been eliminated. So it just simply says God is spirit. But that's not right. What's right is that God is a spirit. In fact is, whenever you begin to look into it, this indefinite article is there. You'll begin to see in the course of the sermon why that it's very important. Let me say to you that, if you will, that when you take the word out, the letter A out, when you take that indefinite article out of there, is that what you've done is you've integrated God with Satan and with man and with animals. You see what we're talking about? In other words, God's not the same as you and I or anything else. God is a spirit, and that it ought to be left there so that we can differentiate what God is from everybody else. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, the Bible said over to the book of Genesis, and you ain't got to turn there, but while you turn to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 2, while you're looking there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, over there in the book of Genesis in chapter number 2 and verse number 7, that when God made man from the dust of the ground, whenever he created man, that he breathed into man the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. Now, you and I have that said here tonight. We understand that God is a triune being. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost of God, or the Holy Spirit, whichever you prefer to call it. And let me say to you that that's the reason why over in Genesis, when he said, let us make man, the plurality there is that God is a plural, is one God manifested in three persons. And we'll not take time to go to John, 1 John 5, and begin to look at and all the other evidences that are given, or 1 John chapter number 3 and 4 and 5, and begin to show you those. But you well know that there the record has been set and given in heaven. Now, man is a trichotomy. That means that you and I have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. Now, the reason why that's very important that you notice that is because God is a spirit, and if he didn't have a different spirit than you and I are going to read about with man, you'd not be able to learn nothing. That is, divinely. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and the Bible says there in verse 11, verse 10 we'll take up. God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, and yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. In other words, the Spirit of God knows about it. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Now here's what I'm saying. If you and I did not know the difference between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man, well, you and I couldn't learn nothing about God. It's the Spirit of man that God, by his Spirit, communes with and lets you know that you're a sinner, lets you know when you're saved that you've got victory, lets you know, see the difference? All right, next of all, notice in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3, when we look there in the passage, there's a little thing that we ought to pay attention to, verse 21. Now, the Bible says in verse 21 of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3, verse 21, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Let me say to you that, if you will, that I know some of you have got some animals that you really think highly of, but they're just not going to be saved like you and I are. Enjoy them now, if you will. If you want to baptize one of them, get out there in the dog bowl and knock yourself out. But it's not going to help one way or the other. Here's what I do know, is that man that's created in the image of God is able to be conversed with by the Lord, by the Spirit of God. All right, look over there in the book of Hebrews in chapter 1. In the book of Hebrews in chapter number 1. I think about when we're looking into the passages that are there, that you find out that in Hebrews 1, it's about verse 7. And in verse number 7, he says, and the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits. See? God is a spirit. He's made his angels spirits. But there's a difference between, and his ministers a flame of fire. Let me say to you that, if you will, they're ministering spirits for those that'll be heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I got to tell you right now, I'm glad to know that I'm his and he's mine. While you turn to Mark chapter number 5, in the book of Mark chapter number 5. And we've talked a little bit about the spirit of man, and we've talked a little bit about the spirit of animals, and we've talked a little bit about the spirit of angels, and we've talked a little bit about the Spirit of God. But notice, if you will, that in Mark chapter 5, verse number 2, in that passage here, he says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him, talking about Jesus Christ, out of the tombs, a man with, notice, an unclean spirit. See, the devil is a spiritual person. Why do you think in the last days that he's, when people give heed to doctrines of devils and that seducing spirit, there's a moving force that brings people to realize, oh man, I'm telling you, it's a real thing. See, in the lesson that you're looking at, notice that, if you will, please, in about verse number 7, Mark chapter 5. And the Bible says this, of course, unclean spirit was in this man, the maniac of Gadara, we call him. And as we look there, you'll find he was busy crying and cutting himself with stones and so forth and on. And when he saw Jesus far off in verse 6, he ran toward him, fell down, began to worship him. Cries out, don't torment me. Begs to be thrown into some swine that are there. He asked him what his name was, and he said, Legion, because we are many. All right, verse number 7 through 9, let's look at him. And he cried with a loud voice, said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he saith unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, and he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into that, look now in verse 10. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits, in the plurality sin, the unclean spirits, they went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently deep down the place of the sea. There were about 2,000 that were choked in the sea. I'm going to tell you, that's a lot of swine. I don't want to be rude and ugly and all of that business there. Somebody said, yeah, and they came out singing water fellowship, water joy divine. Teaching water baptism for salvation. And you know, basically, when I say that, who do you think about? I tell you who you think about. You think about the church without Christ, the Campbellite movement. But the Methodists believe in water baptism. The Catholic believe in water baptism. Do you realize and know that all other religions that use water to sanction what they are, I promise you, they've never conversed with the Spirit of God in their spirit. See? In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that whenever this man, they found him there in the chapter, and the Bible said in verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that is possessed with the devil that had the legion, sitting clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And while he was cutting himself and bleeding like a stuck hog and screaming up and down, running butt naked out there in the cemetery, I mean, they just looked at him as some freak of nature. But when he got saved and got clothed and in his right mind, you know how you can tell whenever you go down to the coast, people that are not in their right mind? In the day and hour that we're living in, I pass by churches every now and again. Some of them even call themselves Baptist churches. And they have very little clothing. Here was a man when he met Jesus was found sitting down at his feet, and he was clothed and in his right mind. Now, I want you to back up there, and I want you to turn over there to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we're going to cut this short and go home in Deuteronomy chapter number 4. In Deuteronomy chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse number 2, now watch this here. Here's Moses, and God is giving them the message from the Lord through Moses. He said, you shall not add unto the word which I command you. The word God doesn't need any help trying to add to it. Neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. All right, closing now back in your text. This Bible said in verse number 24 that we've read, God is a spirit. And the reason why that you and I ought to be thrilled about that indefinite article that's there, because it differentiates between God and man and animal and devils. That's something, isn't it? So you thought I was kidding whenever I told you I knew a little bit about English because I'd taken 11 years of high school English. I'm only kidding. I didn't. But let me tell you, that's a very vital, important subject, English is. You need to be able to know. I'm telling you right now. Now, one of these days, you're going to ask me about all that right there, and I'm not going to even know who you are. But I'm not planning on running for president either. Let me say that I don't know about you, but I'm glad God has given. Listen, I hear fellows all the time, and you're going to hear more and more of it, and they'll say, well, you know, a better rendering, hold it, man, the best rendering of the scriptures right there. Yes, sir. That's it right there. Yeah. I gave you the illustration one time. I had an argument with somebody somewhere. We were off out and about, and one of my kin folks, you know, that. And by the way, I don't know if you've noticed that all these years that we've been together, I don't bluff real easy. Because I know what God said, where he said it, why he said it. And so as a result, it's settled. That's just it. Whether you believe it or not, it's a settled matter already in the mind of God. And so let me say to you that, if you will, that make no mistake about it. He said, well, you know, what's your argument for that? I said, remember over there when Jehoshaphat sat with Ahab, and he wanted to be able to join affinity with him. And he says, Ahab says unto Jehoshaphat, Ahab the king of Israel says unto Jehoshaphat the king of Judah, he says, I want you to help me to go back and take Ramoth Gilead. It belongs to us. And they had a big supper, and they laid it out there, enjoyed, got full. Ahab got to thinking, when the army of Syria is going to meet them in battle, he got to thinking it's going to be a dangerous thing. Jehoshaphat, I don't want to be taking the glory of the king. Why don't you dress up like the king? And he went out there into the battle, and the king of Syria had already said, we don't want to kill anybody or go after anybody but the king, and if we can get him. Well, first thing you know is, in Syrians, they noticed a man dressed up in the kingly robes and crown, and it was Jehoshaphat, not Ahab, and they went to running after Jehoshaphat, and he got to screaming for his life. Well, the Syrian army got to thinking, you know what? I don't know. We don't know where Ahab is. And the Bible said there was a man that pulled a bow at venture. And if you look it up, it means completeness. That tells me that he didn't just, you know, pull it back. I mean, he drawed it back to the head. He, in completeness. It also means prosperity. And let me tell you, he was so convinced that when he turned it loose, that it was going to complete its mission. That's another word that it means. Now the word venture means all of that. But he pulled the bow back at venture, not knowing where he was. He did it in innocence. He did it knowing that I've got to hit some of them Jews somewhere. And when he turned it loose, it smote Ahab between the joints of his harness, and he died there in his chariot. I said all that to say this, is that you could take any one of those words. When it said the man drew the bow back at venture, you could say, well, the man drew the bow back at completeness. Is that an error? No, but now you've limited that passage, because the word completeness doesn't mean what the other two did. See, then the best is already there. And that's kind of the way it is whenever you and I read about the Lord being who he is, because God is a spirit. And that's an indefinite article that differentiates him from man, animal, devils, angels. He's in a league all by himself. Do you not know that? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were. For those that could not be here, watch over those that we've been praying for this day. Lord, heal the sick, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Check in.